For our message tonight, let's start off in 2 Kings chapter 22. We'll go down to verse 8. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 8. It says, "And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, Thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Achbor the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asahiah a servant of the king's, saying, Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according to all that which is written concerning us." I want to talk tonight about four things about God's Word. And first of all, I want you to notice here that God's Word was found. Did you know that God's Word was once lost? This is a very important place in the Bible. This is a red letter day when the Word of the Lord was found, because listen, this was probably the only copy of the Bible in existence. It got that close to being lost. In fact, it was lost. But actually, it had just been kind of misplaced, lost. There's a difference. But it was lost. Can you imagine losing the Word of God? We wouldn't have a Bible today if they hadn't found it. And if this guy that found it hadn't recognized it for what he thought it might be, he might have just dumped it in the trash and it would have been gone. This is very important. Can you imagine a world without the Word of God? Wouldn't that be tragic? Just think for a moment. No Bibles. I cannot imagine what goes through the minds of politicians, those that are supposed to represent us, those people who have been entrusted with power to take the Word of God away from us. The new issue of Israel My Glory just came out, and it talks about, it's got an article in there about, I think it's Rhode Island someplace there, where the Gideons are under fire again. The principal of the school would not even allow the Gideons to stand on the public sidewalks and give Bibles to those kids who wanted them and would accept them. The principal comes out and tells them to get away, and they said, "Oh, we don't have to leave, we're on public property." He goes and calls cops. Cops come out and say, "I don't care where you are, get out of here." Scatters them. The law. Chase them off. What would the world be without the Word of God? Nobody would know about God, how this world came about, how it was created. they wouldn't know anything about Jesus, nothing about salvation. It would be terrible. But here we have a time when there was only one copy of the Bible in the world, and it was lost. Mankind had lost his road map. He'd lost his directions. He didn't know where he was going, where he'd been. We don't know how long it had been lost. But it had been lost so long that nobody was even looking for it. They hadn't sent out a search party and said, go see if you can find the Word of God. No one was interested in finding it. And it was found quite by accident. You read in this, you'll find that they weren't looking for it. They weren't digging in through the trash and in the closets and looking for it. And where is the Word of God? They weren't looking for it. This fellow was just cleaning out an old storage closet in the house of the Lord, I can imagine. He picks up this old discarded scroll from among the pile of junk on the floor, and he brushes the dust and debris off of it. He probably didn't know how to read, didn't really know what he'd found. But he thought it might be something of value, so he took it to the high priest, Hilkiah. Hilkiah took it and opened it up. Now, he was a religious man, I suppose he was, being a high priest anyway. And he recognized it as the book of the law. He took it to Shaphan the scribe, and he knew how to read and write, being a scribe. So he read it. And the Word of God has a peculiar power on people who read it.
Amen.
He said the king ought to know what this is about. So he took it to King Josiah, and he read it to the king. God's Word, number one, is to be found. I can remember the first Bible that our family had. My mom and daddy didn't get saved until 1934. I was 8 years old at that time. I can remember it. We had an old-fashioned Brush Arbor revival meeting there in East Texas, and they had a pastor come out from Mineola out to that country community out 9 miles out in the country, little country church, and he preached there, and my mom and daddy were saved. In 1934, those were Depression days, and we didn't have much money. My daddy was a dry land farmer, but I can remember that he went to town and bought a cheap little hardbacked Bible. I don't know what it cost. Daddy didn't read. He could barely write his name. Mama could read. She'd gone to the 8th grade, I think, in school. She could read. And she would take that little Bible and get the old coal oil lamp down, and she would read that Bible to us. Of course, I was 8, and I was learning to read pretty good, too. I can remember nights that I would sit up and I would read that Bible by the light of that old coal oil lamp. We treated it like it was the Holy Bible. It was the most sacred thing we had around our house, I'll tell you that for sure. And I would memorize verses out of that Bible, say them in church. The only other Bible that we had were the verses of Scripture that were printed in our Sunday school quarterlies. Remember those? Each Sunday's lesson there, it had a portion of the Word that was printed in there. And we would take those old quarterlies and we would take the scissors and we would cut out the Word of God and make our own Bibles. We would get us a sheet of paper and make paste. Remember how you used homemade paste? How'd you make it, Don?
Flour and water.
Flour and water, that's right. We used flour and water and we would paste those scriptures on this, on the old, you know, expired quarterlies and make our own Bible out of that. And that was our Bible. Tell them how to save them. The Word of God is to be found. But the Word of God is to be read. You go into lots of homes, they'll have a big, beautiful Bible, kind of like this one here out on display. And just like this. I wonder if this Bible here's ever been read. I doubt it. But it's on display, you know. It's a holy relic that we've got around here. Nobody reads it, but it's there in case somebody wanted to. The Bible is to be read. The book says of itself, "The entrance of thy words giveth light." When old King Josiah had this Bible read to him, an amazing thing happened. The light began to shine. The Holy Spirit, the divine author of this book, opened King Josiah's eyes. God illuminated his heart and opened his understanding. And he commanded Hilkiah and these four other men. He said, "Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book." You see, the Word of God, the reading of the Word of God, brought conviction of sin upon them, just as it did to you and me when we first heard it. That's how we realized that we were sinners. Through the reading of the Bible, I realized that I was lost. And I lived in fear of dying for a long time. And finally, in 1940, when I was a 14-year-old boy, I heard the gospel message preached, and I realized that Jesus Christ had died for my sins. And I received him as my personal Savior, and I've been saved ever since. In Luke chapter 4, it said of Jesus that he went throughout Galilee and taught in their synagogues. He gave his first sermon in Luke chapter 4, verse 16. There in the synagogue at Nazareth, the Bible says that he opened the book of Isaiah and he read part of chapter 61 to the people. The Word of God is to be read. Doesn't do us much good just laying it out on a table. Makes our home look religious. That's about it. Number three, the Word of God is to be learned. Learned. The Bible is unlike any other book in the Bible. It is unique. When Paul and Silas were on their missionary journey, about the year A.D. 51, they came to a place over there in Asia Minor called Lystra. And, you know, it's amazing how that God brings people together, isn't it? In his own time. I meet some people later in life, I say, I wish I had known you back way back when, you know, we could have had a good time together, you know, doing this and going there and things like that. But sometimes it's not until later in life that we meet somebody like that. I think about Brother Bryant here so many years, that we've been, our paths have been parallel with one another all down for many years. And it wasn't until the Lord's time that he brought us together. What a joy. What a joy. We could have gone to some good fellowship meetings together. We could have had preached some revivals for each other, all such as that. But it wasn't God's time. Paul and Silas are at Lystra. And at Lystra, Paul met a young man named Timothy. Timothy was a believer in Christ. He was already a Christian when Paul met him. His father was a Greek. He was a sort of a half-breed, I guess you'd call him. His mother was a Jewish girl, but his daddy was a Greek. And that made him a Jew. Did you know that? That made him a Jew. Now, if his daddy had been a Jew and his mother a Gentile, he would have lost his heritage, wouldn't he? Because it's through the mother. Through the mother. Well, anyway, his mother, Eunice, was a Christian, and he had a maternal grandmother whose name was Lois. I thought there was somebody named after her. Lois, yeah. And those two Christian ladies had a great influence on Timothy. They believed that Jesus was the promised Messiah. And Timothy's faith, you read about him, was known by all the people in Lystra. And he was even known as far away as Iconium. And I looked, and Iconium was another town about 40, 45 miles away. And those people over there knew about Timothy, knew about his faith. Paul persuaded Timothy to join with them in their evangelistic work, and he gladly accepted the assignment. And Timothy was a very good choice. He served the Lord with Paul for 17 years. The last epistle that Paul wrote was to Timothy before he was beheaded by Nero in 68 A.D., in May of that year. And in that letter, I want to read part of it to you, what Paul said to and of Timothy. He said, "Timothy, I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers, with pure conscience and without passing. I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day." See, they're separated now. Paul's in prison at Rome. "Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Timothy, continue thou in all things which thou hast learned. I said the Bible is to be learned. You continue in all things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, Timothy, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He said, Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And I can imagine his heart as he writes these words, Timothy, I'm now ready to be offered. Paul looked at his coming death, his martyrdom, as being an offering to God. I am now ready to be offered, he said. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And Timothy did just that. After Paul died, Timothy went and worked with John, who was pastoring the church at Ephesus. And he was there with John when Emperor Domitian banished John to the Isle of Patmos for preaching the word of God. And while John was gone, Timothy stepped in and took over the leadership of that church and filled the pulpit until John was returned. I imagine they had a good reunion, but both John and Timothy died that next year. John died of old age. He was the only one of the 12 apostles of Jesus that died a natural death. He died in September of that year, 97. And Timothy, bless his heart, he was beaten with clubs. Some of the pagans at Ephesus got a hold of him and they beat him to death. He didn't die that first day. He lingered for 2 days after he'd been beaten with clubs until he finally died. My, what a life. But my last point is this. The Word of God is to be taught. Do you remember the Great Commission, what we call the Great Commission that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20? He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. The Word of God is to be taught. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, preaching is important. Preaching is how we get saved. But teaching is also important. I can never forget June the 21st, 1950, a Wednesday night, when I went into the Calvary Baptist Church and pulled the pastor aside and I told him, God has called me to preach and I don't know how. Fortunately, my pastor was a teacher. He taught New Testament theology in the Bible Baptist Seminary over in Fort Worth. And I enrolled in that seminary and was taught English Bible. I can remember that. And I was taught. You ought to see the Bible. When I went into the seminary, I bought a Dixon Bible. You know, there's all different kinds of Bible. All the King James Version, understand, but it was published by Dixon. And I bought that Bible and used it as a textbook in every class, regardless of what that class was, for 3 years. And I taught it and I preached out of it and I studied it in class and such as this. I've still got it. Somewhere. I know I've got it because I never throw anything away. But it's pretty well marked up. I'll tell you that for sure. It lasted 3 years, and after that, I remember being one of my buddies named Northcutt, pastored up in Oklahoma. He and I got us a Thompson Chain Reference Bible, similar to the one I've got now. And I used it for, I don't know, 30 years, wore it out. And I still got it. It's precious. It's got markings in it that this one here that I've been using since 1955, I think it was when I got this. That's been a long time. No, that's newer than that. Christmas 1978, I got this Bible. 78. And I'm taking better care of it. When you look at it, you think, well, that preacher don't read his Bible very much. Well, yes, I do, but I usually read one of the others and say this near for Sunday. But we're to teach the Bible. Now, I went to seminary for 3 years. I was taught by some of the outstanding teachers of that generation. They didn't teach me how to preach, but they taught me what to preach. And I've been holding up the cross of Christ, preaching Christ and Him crucified. Jesus was a preacher, but He was also a teacher. Mark chapter 6 says, "And Jesus, when He came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And He began to teach them many things." He was a teacher. In John chapter 3, Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, came to Him. "Rabbi, we know that Thou art a teacher come from God, because of what He taught." He taught with authority. And in Acts chapter 5, verse 42, you see, He passed this on. He had those 12 apostles, and He taught them. And they were Christians. They were carbon copies of Jesus. And the Bible says of them, "And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to preach, to teach and preach Jesus Christ." What a job we have. What a book we have. I'm glad that they found it. And I'm glad that it's been preserved for us down through these years. I cannot understand the enmity that people have against the Bible, wanting to destroy it. Satan worked for many years trying to destroy the Bible. They would burn every copy they could get their hands on for years. And it seemed like the more copies they destroyed, the more copies there were. And finally he said, "Well, if I can't destroy it, I'll pervert it." And he set about doing that. And he's done a pretty good job. But there are enough of us that have got sense enough to know that this book here in the King James Version comes from the scroll that they found in the temple that was lost. Let's stand together, please. We'll be dismissed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for your blessed word. We thank you for the encouragement, the comfort, the hope that it gives to us. We thank you that it tells us about Jesus and about his great love for us and the sacrifice that he made of himself on the cross of Calvary when he died for our sins. How precious this book is to us. And we pray, Father, that each one of us might devote more time to studying it and to reading it and to teach it to others. We thank you for your goodness and grace that's brought us together this evening. Use us for your name's honor and glory this coming week. Bring us back again Wednesday evening for a good time in the book of Daniel, and we'll give you the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.